Now, when we walk uprightly with the Lord, the scriptures teach us great truths about walking uprightly with Him. What does Psalm 84, verse 11 say? Without going to it, let me just start it with you. The Lord will withhold no good thing to them that walk uprightly. And an uprightly person is a godly person. You've got to keep in mind, that good thing that He will not withhold from us may be a hard thing. Doesn't mean the good thing's an easy thing. The good thing can be a very difficult thing. We don't have the regulator on what's the good thing that He wouldn't withhold from us. He controls that. Amen?
Amen.
We just walk uprightly with Him. He will not withhold any good thing. And sometimes the good thing is that He holds things back. Holds back something from us that we thought we might have needed, but realize He knows better that we didn't need it. And sometimes we think, I didn't really need this, God. And God said, no, you did need this. He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Ain't he good, Carolyn?
Yep.
That is Him. That is Him. Look in chapter 11. Notice, if you will, in verse number 6. 11:6 says, upon the wicked, He, that will be God, will rain cold. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now, this is what we want to see. Everybody has a cup.
Amen.
Everybody has a cup. Now, what is poured in that cup is different from the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, what we don't want to miss in this is remember that Jesus, you remember that cup that He told Peter about when He said, God forbid that I shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me. In that cup that He gave him, Jesus said that if it was possible, let this cup what? But not my will. You know what was in that cup? In that cup was what should have came to us. That wrath, that burning, those coals, that judgment should have came to us. That suffering was for us. He didn't deserve that. I mean, and He didn't do anything for that. That was placed in His cup by the Father so that the Father could pour something else in our cup. Kind of like David. David talked about his cup. What did he say about his cup? His cup does what? It runneth over with some good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Why? God was his shepherd. And as his shepherd, He led him in paths of righteousness. In Psalm 16, David talked about that the Lord was his portion, that his portion, it fell good to him. Why? The cup that David had was based on the fact that Jesus drank a cup for David.
Amen.
The cup that David should have drank, Jesus drank for him so that God can pour something else in David's cup. Well, the same thing with you and I, amen?
Come on.
Because we deserved another cup, but we get to drink from the goodness of God. We get to drink from the grace of God. We get to drink from the glory that God pours into our cup. But we don't want to miss this, is that everybody has a cup, and everybody has a cup that the Lord pours into. What He pours in it will depend on our position with Him. Remember, all the promises of God, what we talk about in Galatians, what we talk about Sunday, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. And who? In Jesus. He is the promised seed, the promises to Him. And when we're hidden in Him because He drank our cup for us, then we get the promises of God poured in our cup because of Jesus, because of the great swap that took place. He, as our substitute, it allows us not to drink from the cup that we really deserve to drink from, but God was merciful and gracious to us because Jesus drank from a cup that had the wrath and the judgment and the curse and the suffering poured into His cup. It was a cup when He saw it, He could see what He had to endure. Now, Hebrews tells us that He endured the shame of the cross with joy, for the joy that was set before Him. But at the same time, Jesus, all our sin was placed upon Him to be our justifier. It had to be lovingly and legally placed upon Him. And He said if there was any other way, but there was no other way. That was the only legal way that it could take place, is that somebody had to bear that judgment. That's the point of the cross. That's the message of the cross, that God could not allow men to go without being punished, that those sins had to be punished. Those sins had to be justly paid for and punished, and Jesus paid for them and was punished for them all at one time. He paid with His righteous life and then took our punishment and judgment for us at the cross. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. So we see in here, we got to remember that eventually, no matter how we look at it, everybody is going to drink from a cup that the Lord pours into. But depending on how and whether or not they trusted Him would depend on what's poured in that cup. Amen. When you trust Jesus, everything that was for Jesus is poured in our cup. But if you don't trust Him, what's going to happen is this is the result of what gets poured in that cup there. Look over in chapter 16. Look in Psalm 16. Let's see how David brings this out. Verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in You I put my" what? "I put my trust in You." Not only did he put his trust in Him, but David trusted God. And that's going to be evident in how he lived his life. "O my soul, You have said to the Lord, You are my Lord." And what? Not only my Lord, but You are my... "There is no goodness in me apart from You. You are my goodness. My goodness is nothing apart from You. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips." Notice what verse 5 says. "O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance. You are my" what? "You're my cup. You're my cup. And You, by Your providence, maintain my lot. The lines, what You've chosen for me, have fallen me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." Why? The Lord was his inheritance. He was his portion. He was his cup. The Lord was his goodness. And he was the Lord of his life. And oh, the difference that makes. And you know why that could be? Because down the road, one of David's great-great-grandsons was going to drink a cup that the Father gave him that really belonged or should have belonged to David himself. But because his grandson drank a cup that David didn't have to drink, David was going to be able to drink from the Lord's portion of the cup. Amen?
Amen.
Man, sometimes we don't let these things sink into what was done for us at the cross in Christ. David says in verse number 7, "I will bless the Lord who has given me." What has he given me? Let's go back to Psalm 1. Y'all help me out. How does Psalm 1 go? Without turning to it, how does it go? "Blessed is the man who" what? "Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, those that are without God, nor stands in the paths of sinners, that is, stands in agreement with them, stands alongside them, walks with them, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Said his leaves shall always be green, and he shall bear fruit in season. And then he says these things, but the ungodly are not so. So when David says that you have given me counsel, we know where he's taken that counsel from. Remember, he had meditated upon the law of the Lord day and night. The law of the Lord, the word of God, was David's delight. And he thought about it, and he pondered it, and he says, my heart has instructed me where? In the ninth season, 16:7. Oh. Not just season, but what? Seasons. You ever been in a ninth season? Amen. He commands his loving kindness, his word to us in the day, in the light. There are times when we go through these seasons where we're not hearing fresh revelation from God. We don't have that light, but what he hid away in us during the daytime, what he taught us, we start going and grabbing and clinging to. That's where David said, how can a young man keep from sinning against the Lord? How do you do that? You hide his word where? In your heart. You pull it out of your mind, out of the heart of your mind. You pull it out and you grab a hold to it and you trust it and you keep walking with God and what he gave you. And keep walking with him even when you're walking in the dark, in the night season. When you find yourself in the pit, when you find yourself surrounded by the enemy, when you find yourself in a low spot where God's teaching us more and more how to depend on him and how we can lean in on him and wait upon him, when everything else seems to fail in life, you grab a hold of that counsel that he hid away in our heart. And we're going to go through those seasons. That's just part of the journey of God. What? Remember, he withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly. That means that sometimes the night season is a good thing from us. We may not understand it that way, but remember, he's working everything in our life for the good, to make us more and more like him. So God knows what's best. Remember, that good thing is not always an easy thing. Sometimes it's a hard thing. Sometimes it's the hardest thing you ever had to face in your life. But he says, I will not withhold any good thing for them that walk uprightly. And to maintain an upright walk with the Lord in the night season, you have to pull out what he hid away during the daylight, during the daytime. And the scripture says that specifically, that he will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And he will give us a song in the night. That is, when it gets dark and all we can do is come out from a song of praise and adoration of God's faithfulness, of him teaching and guiding and leading, because God's faithful. He's unwavering. You can trust him. And what he gives you today, you'll be able to trust it tomorrow, today. And you can keep walking with him and walking in that revelation that he's given you. When it seems to get dark, you just keep walking and trusting and leaning in on him. And you remember those things. He promised me he will not withhold any good thing. Yes, yeah, Psalm 84:11. He's the source of our light. He is the shield of our love. And he is the satisfier of our life. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. That speaks of his provision. This old world can't live without the sun. You remove the sun from the world, this old world dies. You take the life of the power of the sun away in this natural world that God is uses the sun to govern it. Remember, in heaven, there's going to be no need for the sun, right? All the moon. Why? Who's going to give it its light? Who's going to give it its life? That's right. There's going to be no need for blood in our bodies. Why? Who's going to animate the body? In this world, blood to the body is life to the body. But in the new life that we're going to live, in the resurrected body, you won't need any blood. Why? The life in that body is going to be animated by the Lord. He's going to be the life of it. And He is a sun and a shield. And what does a shield do? It protects. He is our provision and our protection. And in light of that, that's saying that He's going to be the very shield of love for us. He's going to be the source of our light. He's going to supply us with all the life we need. And then notice what the following phrase says. The Lord will give grace and He will give glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And that includes the night seasons. That includes the hardships. That includes affliction. That includes joy. That includes everything we need to live in this life to the glory of God with His provision and protection. He gives us all that we need, including the night seasons. Amen? Amen. Now, what we often will want to do is then question when you get in the night season, the natural thing would be, well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with the Lord? What's wrong with God's people? What's wrong with everything? Now, when we're doing that, we look into the wrong place. We go back to that counsel that He hid away. What did He hide in my heart? Nick, I am your provision. I am your portion. I am your protector. I am your glory and I am your grace. I am your goodness, and I will not withhold any good thing for you as you walk uprightly and trust me. Where you are now is a good thing in my eyes. You just keep walking and trusting me. I'm working something out in your life. I'm refining you in this. No different than when Paul, remember how Paul had that thorn in his flesh he referred to? What was that thorn? Don't really know. Could be a sickness. It could have been one of a million things, other than the fact this is what we do know, is that he was a messenger of Satan. And the messenger of Satan was given to him to buffet him, to keep Paul humble. That messenger of Satan was a good thing from God. Why was it a good thing from God? Because God knew Paul needed that messenger from Satan so that Paul would remain humble. That's what he said. Paul wanted it away. He didn't want to have to deal with it, whatever it was. He asked God to take it away from him. But God says, no, I'm not going to remove it from you. My grace is sufficient. You don't need me to remove the thorn. You don't need me to remove the messenger of the enemy. Matter of fact, it's a good thing that I'm giving you this so that I can keep you needy and humble. Because without it, you will elevate yourself to a place where you don't need me. And when you don't need me, that will hinder me in giving you the grace that you need in everyday life. So I'm giving you a good thing, and I'm giving you something to buffet you. So we look at that. We realize, hey, well, what God's given us. I look at with this issue with me, with this now that I've got to deal with. I see that like a thorn in the flesh. I see that as a messenger of the enemy, that it's a good thing God gave it to me. He's allowed it to happen in my life. And He's going to use it in my life, and He's going to keep me humble in it, because without things like that, I can get arrogant. I can get mean-spirited. I can get all kind of different ways that I wouldn't without something like that. So God keeps me, and He's going to keep me humble. He knows exactly what I need, and He knows what He's doing with me, and to Him be the glory. Amen. He's already promised He will not keep any good thing from me. So I don't have to wonder what's going on. I know who's at work. Amen. And I know what He's doing. So I give Him glory for it and give Him praise in it.